What is a berry bucket? I bet you wake up every morning and ask that question. What is a berry bucket? In fact, you right now are just about to burst at the figurative seams to find out what a berry bucket is. That's what we'll be talking about. And hey, if you don't think it's relevant to your church, just hang on for just a minute, because in episode number 595, we're going to be talking about the berry bucket and how it often can be a source of church conflict. My name is Tom Rayner. We want to welcome you to Rayner on Leadership. I am always joined by Sam Rayner, and we're both of Church Answers. And I got to say something about you, Sam. I just got to say something about you. Do you have any idea what's coming?
No.
I'm just going to brag on you. Since you have come on to Rayner on Leadership, our listenership has gone up over 20% since you have come on.
I'm sure I'm the reason.
That's the only differential, my friend. That is the only differential.
No, I think what it is topics and good subject matter like berry buckets, which you, I don't know if the listeners who are on the other end of this are giggling, but I was about to just start giggling just because it sounds so funny when you say it.
What is a berry bucket?
What is a berry bucket? There's all sorts of things in my head right now. I know the theory, so I know where you're going, but if you don't know the theory, your curiosity is certainly piqued at this point.
Absolutely. So stay with us. And let us, first of all, thank Southeastern Seminary for their sponsorship of Rayner on Leadership. The mission at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They have 40 different degree programs. We love the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization, because that's a degree program in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalized Network. And indeed, we'll put a link here, but you can sign up to go to the Revitalized Network Convention. And with additional work, you can get 6 of your hours done by going to the Revitalized Network Convention in Bradenton, Florida at Sam Rayner's Church in April of 2020. And you can see that in the show notes as well. So if you want to learn more about the whole degree program, and if you want to learn more about the convention, we got that in the show notes, or you can also go to sebts.edu to learn more about the MA in Church Revitalization. So, Samuel, when is the first time you recall hearing a definition or some type of explanation of the berry bucket? Do you even have recollection?
Well, it would have come from you, and if I have a proper memory, it would have been at my first full-time church. I was bivocational for a while before going full-time into ministry in Southern Indiana, where I was serving, because the church experienced this to a small degree. It wasn't a large church, you know, right around 100 when I got there, about 180 when I left. But we definitely experienced that berry bucket principle as we went from 90 on my first Sunday to, I think, 180. Was the number it was when I moved on.
All right.
So almost a perfect example there of the berry bucket.
Yeah, because 90 plus 90 is 180. And if 90 were new berries and 90 were old berries, then you had the perfect example of the berry bucket taking place. All right. For the listener, you are incredibly curious. Let me explain the berry bucket, if I could. Imagine two buckets and put them on a seesaw, put them on a fulcrum. And let's imagine that one bucket is full of berries. On the seesaw, Sam, one part of the seesaw, the fulcrum, will be all the way to the ground because it is full of berries. The other bucket is empty, and it's on the other side of the seesaw or the fulcrum, and it has no berries in it, okay? What are the berries? The berries represent members in your church, particularly attenders. And what happens is, Sam, this is a tough question. Do the old berries decrease or increase? You think about it, but you just focus a little bit. Now, your answer.
The old berries can only decrease.
Exactly. A new berry represents those who've come in since the pastor was there. So you can't create an old berry. You can only create a new berry. And what can happen to those old berries that cause them to no longer be in the bucket? Sam? Just think about it. What can cause them?
What can cause them to get the into bucket? The bucket?
No, to leave the bucket.
Oh, well, I mean, they could pass on.
So they could kick the bucket.
They could kick the bucket. Barry kicked the bucket. And there's all sorts of listeners that are thinking of like guys named Barry in their church at this point. And, you know, yes. A church full of Barrys. No, they could kick the bucket. They could not come as frequently, you know, the attendance frequency issue, or they could just leave the church.
Exactly. Or leave the community and leave the church at the same time. So the only thing that can happen to the old Barrys in that bucket is they can only get fewer. Most of the time, not all the time, the new Barrys are going to increase in number. It is always possible that you have points where they're actually decreasing, but most of the time they're going to decrease in number. So the bucket on the other end of the seesaw is getting heavier. And as you approach some type of equilibrium, some type of balance, you gave the example of 90 and 90. That's just right before that takes place is when you can anticipate conflict in the church, because some of the old Barrys are being threatened by the new Barrys in terms of power, preference, control, et cetera.
And let's make this clear. They may not even know that they're threatened. They may not even understand what they're feeling. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is some conscious effort or some overt action from the old Barrys. It may just be what they feel. They don't know what they're feeling. And so they kind of act out, if you will, even though they don't really know they're doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is not some type of conspiracy theory where there's an active effort to push out a bunch of new Barrys. It's just a discomfort that is taking place because our church is not what it used to be, basically.
Right. And it's an understandable phenomenon. So to use a technical term, we're talking about something that is a phenomenon. It's across several churches. It doesn't even really matter the style of church, the kind of church, the denomination of church. What we're talking about is sociology.
Yeah.
That once new people equals the amount of those who have been there before you, those who came after, those who came before, there's tension. There's going to be tension because you inherited the folks who were there before you, and then the new people came in likely because they tend to be more supportive of the leadership because they're coming in under that leadership. The old Barrys, some are going to be very supportive, some may not. And so what that does is it creates tension in the church, even. And here's the thing, people won't know why. This is your job as the church leader. This is your job as the pastors to understand why and to be able to lead through that. So most people won't even recognize it. If you pastor a church, if you 200 when you got there and it's 400 now and you're wondering like, why? I've been here 5 years, 6 years. Why is there, I thought I got through the 3-year difficulty. You know, you're going to have a chronological timeline of when difficulties can occur and tensions can occur. And that's usually year 2, 3, or 4, depending on the church. But you're also going to have this sociological effect of, wow, we've got just as many new people as we do folks who were here before me. And that can create tension as well. So you could be 6, 7 years into a tenure, everything could be going fine until you reach this point, and they're going to have some tension.
By the way, Barry Bucket is not original with me. I want to give credit where credit is due. The first time I saw it, and I think he is the originator of the phrase, is Carl George. And so Carl is still alive and still doing ministry. He was at Fuller, actually ran the Fuller Institute for many, many years. So I think he is the originator. I wanted to make clear that as I'm talking about the Barry Bucket, it is not something that I created conceptually.
Why is it berries? Why is it not like some other fruit or vegetable?
Well, you know, we can always change it if you want to.
I would just
apple bucket theory.
Should we call up Carl and just say, why did you pick berries?
Look, I'm busy. So you call up Carl George and you can ask him that question. Barry Bucket does alliterate. You got to admit that.
I like it a lot. I'm just curious as to how he came up with the name of it. The concept's brilliant. It's the name that gets me and it kind of makes me giggle, but everyone will remember it.
It's alliterative. It's the same syllabic phrase, two syllables for each word. So it sticks with me. I mean, we could go with a beet bucket. That just wouldn't work. You know, we could go with orange bucket. I don't know if that would work. We could go with rock bucket. Barry Bucket. It's there and it is there to stay. We have essentially been hitting on points 1 and 2. If you happen to be following in your show notes, we've been understanding helping you understand the concept of the Barry Bucket. And Sam started segueing into the timeline. Years 2 and 3 are common years for berry bucket conflict. That does not mean that they are the only years that you'll feel it. And it does not mean that years 2 and 3 are the time that the old berries become minority in numerical status in the church, but it means they sense something is happening with the new berries coming in. The old berries sense something happening with these new berries coming in. And so it is often, oh, this church is changing, and I don't know why it's changing. I've given this illustration before, Sam. This was when you were a youngster, and I was a pastor, and the church was in a good growth phase, and primarily conversion growth. We had some transfer growth, and I was confronted. I used to call her a lady. I'm just going to call her a woman. I was confronted by a woman in the church that just reamed me after a service one time about these people. And I said, who are these people? Well, they're making our church different. I said, who are you referring to? All these new Christians. We got to stop doing this. And so the berry bucket for her was new believers. And she was threatened not only because of the number of them that were there, but because they were not like long-term church members.
And, right. Yeah. But this will be exacerbated if the new people coming in are new believers and the folks that were there have been longtime believers, because now not only getting sociological tensions, you can also get some spiritual tensions with that, you know, a need for more discipleship. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in all of the churches that I have pastored is the way this fleshes itself out is through leadership. So most of the churches I've pastored have had committee structure. There's different kinds of governance. Your church is likely different than mine. But one of the common themes that I hear from some of the old berries, and understandably so, I don't fault them for this, is I don't know, okay, we've just put, you know, 10 new people on committees. I don't even know who they are. I don't, where they come from, who are they? People won't notice until the leadership itself in the church starts to change. It's one thing to come and sit and to be a part of a service, which, you know, that can bring about some, you know, tension. But when they get into leadership, really is when you see a lot of these, the fulcrum becoming, you know, tipping one way or over the other.
Yeah. So it's not just the people coming in. It is where they are on the spiritual pilgrimage. Are they a new Christian or not? And what type of places are they taking in the church?
Yeah, and one of the reactions of the old berries, and this happens in more traditional churches and established churches, one of the reactions is we got to go get a bunch of more old berries. And they don't even understand why they're doing it, but they, you know, they have a business meeting or they have some big thing about to go down. They call up all their old friends that aren't there anymore and like, you got to get here, because they naturally want to try to bring more weight to their side of the bucket. So there's this almost recall of people back into the church as a reaction to all the new berries.
I went to a business meeting at a church, mutual friend of ours, and the church was going through some incredible transition at the time. It was all ended up all being good, but highly threatening to some of the old berries. And at the business meeting, I would say, according to this pastor and what he said, about 75% of the people had not attended church in a year.
Yeah.
But they were members, and they were there to vote on some particular issues. I love what the pastor did. He gave a quick devotional and talked about a few things and said, well, that's it, folks. We didn't conduct any business. He had not put anything on the agenda, so there was nothing to vote on. There was a little bit of an uproar, but that is a way that you can actually call out the old berries and say, come join us for a season. And it's usually
right. Yeah, I mean, the goal here is to try to make lemonade out of lemons, is the saying. Yes. I mean, if more people start showing up, okay, great. I mean, you want to try to do everything you can to work with them, not against them. But it is a natural reaction of old berries as to, wow, the balance of power is changing. And they may not even say it like that, but the balance of power is changing. I got to get some old friends here to kind of, you know, get this back my way. And, you know, if you react, I'm known to react viscerally, and I'm, you know, so the pot calling the kettle black.
No, I didn't know that.
pot calling the kettle black. Don't react viscerally to these kinds of things. These are normal people issues, sociological effects that are occurring in your church. Obviously, it can come with some very challenging circumstances, but you don't want to invite that in by overreacting to the berry bucket principle.
And one thing that you can do in all of this, Sam, is you can over-communicate, and that, I mean that in a good way. You can communicate to the point of redundancy. You can talk about how God is blessing with these people coming in. You may be able to highlight two people on a particular Sunday. One is an old Barry and one is a new Barry. You can get make certain that groups or Sunday school classes are blended together with old and new Barrys, and so relationships develop. But this communication issue is critical, and we don't pre-plan this conversation, but have you ever thought about some of the things that you have said as you begin to see transition taking place where the natural path is the old Barrys are decreasing in number and the new Barrys are increasing? What do you say to the church?
Yeah, you need as many pathways of communication as possible. So we're talking about communication issues as these changes are occurring. You want to utilize newsletters, even in-service announcements, anything and everything that you can do, and over-communicate and then over-communicate again. Because when you get to the point to where you feel like, I am really tired of saying this, is probably when people are beginning to hear it.
Exactly.
So as you make changes and as the church changes, it will benefit you as the leader to over communicate. And one of the tactics that I've used, and I don't know that I've used it really well, but it's something that I've found to be, when I do it, it works hugely. It's a big benefit, is through your whatever membership class you have, your new members class, bring some of your influential old Barrys into those new members classes. Have them, you know, hang out with new members, them share their story, have them, you know, to ask them to say, you know, I want you to tell everyone what your favorite thing about this church is. And just have them share something very positive about the church. What that does is you don't feel as threatened when you're a part of what's going on. And if you're a part of all of the new members coming in, get those influential old Barrys into those membership classes, however you do them, and have them share a little bit and have them meet all the new members. And a lot of that tension will go away, particularly with those who could potentially create the tension if they are influential in the church.
Really, what you're doing with this is, yes, the communication issue, but it's our fourth show note. You're talking about surviving the Barry bucket. One of the ways to survive the Barry bucket is just to be aware that there is a Barry bucket. You, the pastor, you, the leader, you, a lay leader, you need to know that this is a reality in any church. It's not something weird. What I love on Church Answers, Sam, when you, and by the way, if you're not in Church Answers, you go to churchanswers.com and join that community. It's incredible. What I love in Church Answers is when someone says, the reason I like being here with roughly 1,600 people, the reason I like being here is I know I'm not alone, and I know that what's happening in my church is not an outlier, is not weird. So the Barry bucket, first thing you need to know is it happens. It's normal.
There are a lot of Barry buckets at churchanswers.com, and a lot of discussions around these issues. Because here's the thing, your church may not have grown overall numerically, and you still may be going through the Barry bucket principle. So right. It doesn't necessarily mean that your church has doubled. It could be that you've lost some old Barrys. That's very common. And you may even be in a bit of a decline as the Barry bucket principle occurs, because there's this great shuffling that's occurring. And, you know, as older Barrys are leaving the church, newer Barrys are coming in, and you could be stagnant in growth. You can even be declining a little bit in experiencing the Barry bucket principle. And that makes things especially hard, because you don't have the ability to fall back on, well, hey, at least the church is growing. Yes. And it can be a challenging leadership situation. And yeah, these kinds of discussions are the forum that we have at Church Answer Central is full of these kinds of discussions, and so beneficial to me. I'm a part of the Central. I enjoy getting in there and asking questions and answering questions. And I know, you know, it's a great community where a lot of this can be fleshed out in a very safe and private environment.
It is. And that's what the community always says. It's safe here. I don't feel like I'm being judged. I just feel like people are praying for me and helping me. We always want to thank Vander Blumen for being our sponsor. They've been serving the church for more than 9 years. They also serve Christian schools, nonprofits, Christian businesses. If you know of any of those organizations, Christian school, nonprofit, any value-based business, in addition to your church, contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. One thing that I just want our listeners to know, one of the ways you can survive the Barry bucket is to get your church outwardly focused. Get them, instead of looking inwardly, this is one of the ways you survive it, help them move outwardly. We are so incredibly excited that we have three resources that have done just that for churches. One of them is called Invite Your One. That was actually named by Sam. It's about having a time where your people learn to have an inviting culture, pray and go, getting them in the community and praying, and then having a vision for the outward focus of the church. These three resources have been received incredibly well. And now as we're approaching toward the end of this year and we're going towards some new things and new organization, not doing away with these resources, but a whole new organization in 2020, we're going to make these available at half off, 50% off, very limited time. We mean it. You need to jump on these really, really quickly, any or all of these, 50% off. It's during Cyber Week, but it's going to be a good time for you to get them as well. So thank you again for joining us on Rainer on Leadership. Please leave us a rating, a review. That helps us to know that you're listening and helps others to know that this is worth listening to as well. So whether you're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, any of your podcasting apps, give us that rating and we'd appreciate it so very much. Thank you again for being here at Rainer on Leadership, where we continue to grow healthy churches together.